Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air. Bob Kelly and Dima, we're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in cloudy Oak Grove this afternoon. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which would be a great place for a good meal tonight or a great place to cater your next event. Keep them in mind, Dickey's Barbecue. They do just such a great job in catering. Hey, we're glad to be back with you today. About to bring a really special guest on the show. Later in the program, we'll be talking about an article that Dima brought to our attention that had us all fuming here about college football. We'll talk about that later. But first, our first guest was a first-team All-American selected by Perfect Game and National Collegiate Baseball Writers last year. He won the Boo Ferris Award. He was a finalist for the Golden Spikes Award and the Dick Howser Trophy, the semifinalist for both of those. First team All Sun Belt, All American, ace of the pitching staff, and now a member of the Colorado Rockies. And of course, I'm talking about JB Middleton. And JB, it is great to have you back on the Eagle Hour.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to do it.
JB, I named off all those things right there. When you were pitching at Benton Academy in Yazoo City, could you have ever envisioned that?
Well, I lost you for a second. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying when you, I named off all the awards that you won, All-American awards, you know, the best player in Mississippi. Now you're playing for the Colorado Rockies organization. When you were a young man at Benton Academy in Yazoo City pitching baseball, could you ever have envisioned all of these awards and accolades?
I don't know that I say I can. I mean, you know, it was always the dream to do what I'm doing now. You know, it's just been a blessing and an honor to receive all those awards.
When was it in your Southern Miss career that things really began to click, that you really began to think, you know, I can do this, and I can do this at a really high level?
I think it was probably my sophomore year, more towards the end of the year. Going into the summer before last year, working with Coach Oz on a few things that summer. I was really honing in on some mechanical stuff that I really needed to fix up and just gaining that confidence that, you know, allowed me to free up my body and, you know, go out and pitch and win us ball games.
Right. And what was it, because the guys want to get here on the conversation, but what was it that you learned the most from Christian Ostrander?
You know, he always told me that, which, you know, he's a big mentality guy, and so if you don't have the right mindset to do something, then, you know, you're already starting out not putting yourself in a good position. But really just believing in yourself was the biggest thing that, you know, I took away from my time with him.
JB, something about Christian Ostrander that's just so incredible is just his ability to develop pitchers. And, you know, in the starting seasons that you started to have some appearances at Southern Miss, you know, struggled on the mound at times, did very well at the mound at times, but then you became what you became in that final season. Can you talk about how Christian Ostrander developed you and how he develops so many other pitchers to be the best version of themselves as possible?
Yeah, I think with him, I don't think it's real, you know, cookie cut with how he is with every guy. I think everybody's different, and, you know, there's a different approach to everybody with working on things, and he's just got a way of getting through to guys and such a great track record of success with how he does things. And for me, it was the mentality side of it. And like I said, you know, when you have that, I think the confidence goes along with it. And I think it's like that with a lot of guys too. But just the belief and what you're doing and fully buying into the program and what he, you know, what he has in store for you.
JB, we've talked to a lot of athletes who have achieved it at a very high level. And when Bob asked you that question, could you ever envision that these things would come your way? And athletes have always told me off the record, they go, well, the truthful answer is yes, I thought I could win those things. Yes, I could envision those things. But if you tell the truth, you come off as sounding cocky and arrogant. And so we just say, no, not really. But I guess to play at the level that you're playing, you have to have a little bit of that swag. To the people who say, well, they're just, you know, all these athletes are just so conceited and arrogant. But again, they all say, yes, I can envision that. What do you tell those people who misinterpret confidence with arrogance?
Well, I think sometimes words can be, you know, misarranged, but I think it's more confidence than being cocky. You got to have confidence in what you do. It's what makes you good at what you do. I think some of those words can be misconstrued sometimes and turned around.
Now you're going from college baseball to professional baseball now, still in your infancy in your professional career, but what are some of the things you've noticed already that might be a little different at the pro level than, say, the college level?
Well, you don't have anybody sitting there holding your hand to tell you to get up and work every day. So, you know, it's kind of your lifestyle and turns into it's your job. So, you know, you got to get up and go to work every day just like everybody else. And if you don't, then you'll be left behind.
But that's not a problem for you. That hasn't been a problem for you.
No, not at all. I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, so tell us about the chronology now, where you are, and take us through the next 2 months of what all things going as expected, what your life's going to be like the next couple months.
Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place, but still training and just working on a few different things with my delivery and pitch shape and design. So continuing to do that until it's time to get back.
Where's the minor league affiliation for the Rockies?
Well, our spring training facility is in Arizona, but okay. I mean, we're kind of all spread out.
Gotcha. Okay.
Are you enjoying this, JP? We've talked to other players who've had a little trouble adjusting from college to professional baseball. Has that been an issue with you, or you kind of in the groove and enjoying what you're doing?
Yeah, I love what I do. I mean, I think I'm in a pretty good spot, and, you know, I don't think it's been too hard of an adjustment for me.
Any trepidations about what you're in store for now, knowing that you don't really know what's completely in store for you right now?
I don't know, you know, just taking it a day at a time, and so we'll see.
What will you take most from your days at Southern Miss? Not just baseball wise, but just at the Southern Miss environment, Hattiesburg, etc.
Yeah, it's an awesome place to play. I mean, the fan base that we had, and just the community itself, and all the great teammates and coaches that I was able to play with. I mean, just having that to kind of look back on and draw from, you know. And just, of course, things that I've learned from our coaches, you know, if I ever need to take a step back to figure something out, you know, it may have been something Coach Oz has said to me or whatever it is, I always kind of have that under my belt to, you know, review back on.
Yeah, I think one of the things in general, you know, you're a big fish in a small pond, like when you're in Hattiesburg, and now you're a small fish in a very, very big pond. And like you said, there's nobody to really guide you. And guys who have played professional ball before, they said that one of the things that drives them nuts is there's nobody really telling you what you're doing right or what you're doing wrong. You know, so you don't really know where you stand in the pecking order necessarily in the organization that you're in. But like you said, I guess you just have to deal with that one day at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that's all you can do is do what you're supposed to do and, you know, just keep your head down and go to work and think if you do the right things and, you know, it'll all work out.
Well, and I think one of the things that will work out is, and unfortunately for JB, the Rockies have struggled the last couple of years. So when you're a guy trying to make your mark, it's good to maybe be with one of these clubs where you can, you know, become important early on in your career.
Right, no question. Well, JB, we wish you nothing but the very best of luck, my man. And we're grateful to you for all the times you've come on our show. We'll all be watching, and we'll all be looking forward to watching you make your major league debut here in the very near future.
Well, I sure appreciate it, and thank you all for having me on and everything y'all have done.
All right, JB. JB Middleton, everybody, from Yazoo City, Mississippi. And what a great story, man. I mean, yeah. Come from Benton Academy in Yazoo City to being the best baseball player in the state, All-American, and now playing for
I go back to a couple years ago when I saw him play against Mississippi State up there in Trustmark Park. I mean, it was terrible. That was one of the first times we ever saw him.
He looked terrified.
And then 2 years later, I mean, he was untouchable.
He's a dog.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
JB Middleton, everybody. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, I want to thank JB Middleton for joining us on the program. One of our favorite Southern Miss players, great kid, out of Benton Academy. You know, guys, we were talking. It's maybe only in America, Kelly, can you be a kid that plays high school baseball at a small private school in Yazoo City, and you become an All-American. And now you're going to play professional baseball.
Yeah, and I appreciated his honesty when he said, yeah, I could envision all those things.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the athletes do have to, if they answer it honestly, they come off as being arrogant and stuck up. But if they give you the pat answer, well, no, yeah. I've just been really lucky. That's not really the truth.
Right.
So, but yeah, in any sport, you got to have confidence that what you're doing, you know, it's me against him or whatever. And if you don't have that confidence, and I think that's a lot what he was talking about with Coach Ostrander that developed in him, is that confidence to know that I'm going to get this guy out. I don't care who he is, where he's from, I'm going to get him out. And if you don't have that attitude, you're in the wrong business.
All right, Dima, recite his stats, and then let's try to put where does JB Middleton stack up in the great history of Southern Miss pitching.
Well, I want to take you back. 2023, his ERA was 8.68. 0-3, he only had 8 appearances. And that was the Mississippi State game that we were referencing. 2025, all right, y'all ready? 10-1, 16 appearances, 105 1/3 innings pitched, 2.31 ERA. He had 122 strikeouts.
That's more than one an inning.
yes, and just 25 walks. By the way,
so that's about a 4-1 or almost 5-1.
27 earned runs on the season, and only surrendered 8 home runs in 105 innings.
So where does he stack up, Kelly, amongst other great Southern? Is he a top 10, top 5 Southern Miss pitcher?
Maybe top 10. There have been some good ones, because long before Dima came along, you know, there have been some really good ones come up through. But I think the way he finished is the way that particularly playing. And with all due respect to a lot of the older pitchers who are on that list, they weren't playing the schedules that
right.
J.B. Middleton and well, some of the other pitchers
and the fact that it's become such an offensive game, too. Like, it's not, you know, you used to win 2-1, 3, you know, that still happens. But you're seeing a lot more college baseball scores 11-5, you know, 8-9-4, whatever it is, you know, just it's becoming such more of an offensive game, such more about you got to hit the home runs, you got to hit the doubles, you know, and pitchers are kind of like, as long as you can contain it, as long as you know you're not.
You're putting him in the top 10.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you'd be silly to even consider him outside of the top 10 with those kind of numbers. And just the dominant, I mean, every single Friday night game, you thought you were going to win last year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you wasn't even a question of, oh, JB's on the mound. You're going to win.
Right,
you know, and I think, you know, Tanner Hall could be in that discussion in the top 10 for sure. I mean, I think both Tanner Hall and JB Middleton have an argument to be in the top 5.
And I think one of the things about JB Middleton that needs to be noted as well is he's not an imposing guy.
No, he's not a big kid.
He's not a 6'7 guy that's coming at you at that launch angle, you know, the pitching angle. He's just an average size guy, and when you are that average size guy, you're not intimidating the guy at the plate just merely by you know,
a true
like
ace,
like Justin Storm could intimidate,
for example,
you.
Sure. Yeah. Right,
a true ace to me is somebody on Friday night you're just like, we're gonna win,
and that was him,
and that was JB Middleton,
and before that it was Tanner Hall.
Yes,
we're spoiled.
And like Billy Oldham had his degrees of that when he was starting on Friday nights back in that 2024 season. But I don't think he had it to the level of JB Middleton or Tanner Hall.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think he quite had the skill that they have.
No, I mean, he's still a phenomenal pitcher.
And I think you salute the baseball program at Southern Miss and JB Middleton and the fact that he stayed and developed. And in this
100%.
And this new landscape of college sports we're in now, it doesn't seem to be about development.
Well, it shouldn't be any shock because not many players leave out of that program over down the street there. No. I mean, you can only really think of one player in the last
year. We don't mention his name on the show. Mm-hmm. Now, Kelly, how hard is it going to be to replace JB Middleton? Dima just described it perfectly. Oh, Friday night, we'll win JB's pitching.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you thought.
Where do you go from?
Yeah, but the program is so healthy right now, I think it's one word can sum it up. Next.
Yeah.
Who's next? Yeah. I mean, there'll be plenty of guys.
And the good news for Southern Miss fans is the projected Friday night guy right now is a fourth-year returner. So, and Colby Allen, who is obviously going to have all the stuff he's always had, and he's also pieced in a changeup to all of the other stuff that's already been lethal throughout the last few years. And so we'll be able to see finally a Colby Allen starting pitcher more than likely on a Friday night. And then you're bringing back Graydon Harris, of course, the lefty freshman who was just phenomenal last season. He's back for his second year. And then you got the Tennessee transfer in, Thomas Crabtree, who more than likely might be your Sunday guy. And then you got a whole plethora of other players who could be your midweek guy in a Camden Sundstrom. Let me just say, guys, they're going to be fine.
Like I said, next.
I think they're going to win a few games.
Yeah.
And 15 years down the road, when you ask the trivia question, name the last four-year starter at Southern Miss, it's going to be a baseball player.
Yeah.
Because there's no question.
In basketball and football,
there's no question.
The days of four-year starters are gone forever.
No, you're right. Is that not, too, Kelly, one of the things that makes it still remain the purest of college sports, you think? Baseball, I mean?
For me, it does.
But again,
I'm old, and I was raised a certain way.
Well, you're young, Dima. I mean, how important is that to you that you see a program like this that the kids don't transfer out, that they stay here and develop?
Well, as a writer, it's a lot easier, too, but I'm just kidding. Yeah. But, you know, it's important. I mean, you saw Carson. I think Carson Pato is a great example. Came in here as a freshman. You know, if he would have – and obviously he wasn't going to. Let me just say hypothetically. If he would have transferred out in his freshman year, I mean, it would have been like, okay.
Well, he became a
good
beloved
player.
Figure.
Exactly. Like, I walked down to the Roost in one of Carson Pato's final games. Those kids out there who he would be back with the right field, who said he would be throwing ball, they were – bawling their eyes out, you know, that it was one of his final games at the Pete. And like that matters. Like that's a part
matter.
Of sports
no,
that
does
that
matter.
Matters that you don't have, like Southern Miss football is going to have 70 new players that nobody really knows. You start to develop a friendship and a connection to them over the season, but there's something to a four-year relationship with Carson Pato. Yeah,
that's right, and that's what made college sports so special in my view.
Yes.
And I think we're going to talk numbers later on in this program in many ways, shapes, and forms, but one number I'd like to know is of the football players that have now left this program, how much – and I'm being – serious when I ask this question, how many of them that have gone would even remember the name M.M. Roberts Stadium?
Well, no, and you bring this to my mind. You know, guys, when we watch NFL football, how at the start of the games they'll go through the starting lineups and they'll go, you know, Kelly Center, Iowa State, Dima Mixon, Southern Miss. What do they say now? Bob Getty, Western Michigan, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State.
You guys, it's only a three-hour show.
what school do you claim anymore?
Your high school.
That's right.
What they're starting.
I mean, that's right.
No, they're going to start claiming their favorite drive-through fast food place.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
Dima Mixon. Well, KFC.
We're going to go through some of the numbers here in a few minutes, and I hope you're as shocked as I was when Dima brought this to my attention. And I don't mind saying, I think it's sinful. I just think it has destroyed college football.
And I didn't want to just pick on football. The same I'm saying of basketball.
True, too.
Yeah, how many basketball players that were here 1 year would even remember the name of Reed Green Coliseum?
100%, Kelly. 100%.
And I just think that's tragic. But, you know, here we are, the old guy, the old Muppets up there complaining again.
Yeah.
Have you seen, have they started renovation over there?
But the young, I've been told.
But the young member of the staff here, he tends to agree.
I think it makes, I mean, that to me is one of the biggest things that separates baseball from the others. It's like,
correct.
You know who's going out there. Like, you know Matthew Russo is going to be over there at first base.
Correct.
And beloved character.
And there's correct. Another guy who has a heck of a story.
Yes.
He could have left a long
exactly.
time ago.
Like, you know that Ostrander is going to be back there calling the pitches. You know, he's not looking for a $15 million job at another university. No. Not saying anybody here would get that, but you know, it's the purpose of it.
And clearly, guys, it's the culture that he and Travis Creel and the other coaches, and before him, Scott Barry and the Federico and all those great guys, I mean, they have built a culture that kids want to be a part of. And again, that's just really unusual in today's world.
It's the only sport left, pretty much. Other than, of course, you know, track and field and tennis and soccer and all the rest of them. But of the big three, that's for sure. Mm. But there's what, 30, what'd you say, 38 days left?
38 days. Hey, Eagle Tire West reminds you that they sell quality Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service. They're Southern Miss supporters. They're on Highway 98 West. Next to Smith Motor Company, Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. That is Eagle Tire West, and they'll be sponsoring the upcoming segment of our show.
I was looking at the script for that, Bob, and you know, the one of the lines is sells premium Goodyear products.
Right.
Let me suggest to you, to conserve time and words, you don't have to say premium.
It's just Goodyear product.
But, I mean, Goodyear products
says it all. Don't
that
it?
Is, you don't.
They
even,
got the blimp, baby.
Yeah, don't even have to say premium.
Yeah, you're an indie guy, and that what they all run on?
They do. They do
the Goodyear tires.
Goodyear Eagle tires.
Goodyear Eagle tires.
I don't know why you had to mention the blimp with me sitting here, but yeah, they do have the Goodyear blimp. They sure
that was
do.
Good.
Well, speaking of blimps, Mobay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. You eat too many of them, you'll start to look that way. Check out their Facebook page, Mobay Beignet on Hardy Street. We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This segment of the show is sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. That's where you go for your baseball and softball training. Appreciate all the DBAT does for the program, and a great place to take your kids, get them ready for our spring baseball. Hey, if you're going to work on your house, you're going to remodel it, repair it, construct it, work it in your lawn or garden like Kelly does daily, then you need to go to MCS Home Center in Bellevue. It's Hattiesburg's new home improvement center with local folks eager to help you. 7329 Highway 98 West, and that is MCS Home Center.
Now, so Bob, does the lawnmower that you use, does it have weights so when the blimp rises, does it?
He sees me in the garden, but I'm just telling Ernesto what to do.
Yes, oh, I know. My. And you're not very nice to Ernesto sometimes, I'm telling you.
Sometimes he needs to.
You don't let him have taco breaks or nothing.
Have a little fire lit under him every once in a while.
I don't think it's good.
Ernesto.
All right, now we're fixing to do a very bad segment. Dima, I'm going to let you set this up, and I'm going to. If I start getting carried away, please, one of you, reach across the console.
Should we do our alert of this is
yes,
not
this is
about
not,
Southern Miss?
This is not about Southern Miss, so if that's going to anger you,
you can mute your
You can
radio.
Mute,
it's not hard.
Right, for
it's
the
one
next,
button
for the next 9 minutes. Go ahead.
All right. So The Athletic came out with this article because you know the a lot of people question a lot of like how much actually are these players making with NIL.
We talked about that.
Yes, and like we know it's really hard to really gauge exactly the numbers because there's confidentiality stuff. There's a lot of legal issues. But The Athletic did this report. So this is by Sam Kahn Jr. Give him the credit for the story because it's a great story. I want to go through what they said each player is worth in the Power 5 in the transfer portal. Kelly, QBs, they range from $1 million to $4 million.
A year.
A year, correct. The two top quarterbacks in the transfer portal currently are Brendan Sorsby from Cincinnati.
Who has since committed to Texas Tech.
Okay. And Sam Levitt from Arizona State. This says, and you just said he committed to Texas Tech, but they are expected to draw offers of $4 to $5 million.
For 1 year.
Yes.
$4 to $5 million for one season of college football. That's not the highest, though. Drew Mestemaker, who's the North Texas transfer going to Oklahoma State, he has signed a two-year $7.5 million contract at Oklahoma State.
But what's interesting about that is that it's a two-year contract.
Yeah, so he gets $3.5 now and $4 million next year. All right, let's go to the offensive tackles. $600,000 to $1.3 million for offensive tackles. Edge rushers, $500,000 to $2 million. Interior defensive linemen, $500,000 to $1.5 million. This says that cornerbacks make $250,000 to $1 million and safeties make $250,000 to $900,000. The most affordable player in the Power Four is linebackers, $200,000 to $750,000. Interior offensive linemen also range in the $200,000 to $700,000 as well. So you'll have the lowest end of the Power Four NIL budget is about $13 million, with the highest parts getting up to $30 million teams is what we're talking about. Most group of five schools, Southern Miss, don't even get to $5 million in their NIL budget.
So they don't make as much as some quarterback. They don't raise as much as some schools pay their quarterback.
Correct. So quarterbacks in the group of five top out to about $500,000. Schools in the group of five, your average school budget will be about $3 million. So this group of five, GM said he expects to pay $300,000 to $400,000 for his top quarterback transfer and his cycle running backs anywhere from $200,000 to $250,000. So it's not like they're making chump change. But when compared to the Power Four, where your quarterback isn't even making as much as a linebacker at the Power Four.
Well, let's put it in this perspective. You'll have quarterbacks playing college football that make substantially more than the president of the United States.
Yes, sure.
I mean, how absurd does it get?
And when you talk about like Jalen Rayner, who's going from Arkansas State to Iowa State, now his coach, to full disclosure, his quarterback's coach at Arkansas State was named the offensive coordinator at Iowa State. But even if that weren't the case, Jalen Rayner could make an argument, look, I was getting $400,000 or $300,000 at Arkansas State, and now I'm making $2 million at Iowa State.
Yeah.
And here's another question that I have, though. What purpose does a degree serve?
Well, there is no
anymore.
Look, you know, in the past, you could make jokes about, well, they're not going to Georgia to get a college degree. Well, hell, nobody's going to college now to get a college degree that plays football. They're going to get NIL money. You're right, Kelly. A degree is useless for a college football player.
If they were to get a regular degree and get a, air quotes, regular job, yeah. There's no way over their lifetime some of these quarterbacks could make what they're making
to
in 1 year.
To play 12 college football games.
So what's the point of even getting a degree?
There is none. I mean, let's just end the facade. They probably shouldn't even have to go to class at this point if you're going to pay them like that.
Well, I think you can make
an
argument.
And you sure as hell shouldn't be paying their tuition.
That was my next point.
Yeah.
So if these guys are making this kind of money, couldn't you save money? The school, couldn't the institution save money by saying, okay, yeah, you're going to make this NIL money, but we're not paying for your scholarship?
For me, it's just, it's so much bigger than this, though. It's just like, I just think of, you know, a mom of three, you know, who's struggling to
tell
even
them what you told me during lunch and about being a police officer and his
yes,
wife.
That's what I was about to say. Like, it's a mom of three who doesn't even know if her husband's coming home at night, you know, because he's literally on the streets, you know,
making $45,000.
Making $45,000 a year, and they're struggling to make it to the end of the month, and we're paying. It's sad. It's disgusting. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, Southern Miss just lost, and I think this is such a great illustration of the dire straits schools like USM are in. They just lost their best defensive player to an in-state school for, we think, north of $500,000 a year. They couldn't touch that, even if they wanted to. Mm-mm. So the days that you and I enjoy, Kelly, of watching the TJ Slaughters come through and develop from young men to grown men and going to the NFL, that's long gone, because this kid talked to us about how he loved Southern Miss. He was a Southern Miss guy. 500,000 reasons apparently changed his mind.
But to be fair, they're no different than a lot of coaches that are doing the same things.
The whole thing's out of control.
Yeah, yeah. I don't blame Chris Jones.
I
don't blame the players, because like if it was in my shoes, yeah,
you'd take the $500,000,
you know. And I don't blame the players. We can debate whether or not the players should be paid or not. I don't know. I think you have to pay them something for how much money is in the sport. Yeah. You know, but I think it's clear at this point that what's going on right now is clearly wrong.
I'd consider moving to Starkville for five. Well, no, maybe not Starkville, but you know what I'm saying.
And you talk about the kids getting something. Us purists, and get ready to laugh, listeners, us purists thought that your tuition, that your college degree was payment.
Your room and board.
For your services.
Yeah.
And look, and they eat pretty doggone good.
Yeah.
Those offensive tackles.
And if you don't think that's significant, then if you're too young to have children, wait till you pay for one of them to go to college for 4 years and tell me if that's significant or not.
Right. So, and look, we threw out the number. We don't know what Chris Jones.
No, we don't know. But we had
an estimated guess that based upon some numbers we heard, but we didn't have anything to report.
And again, I'm not blaming that kid.
Right,
Dima's right. You can't blame people for taking millions of dollars. No. We would all do it. The system is to blame.
Right.
And the quote-unquote adults that allowed this to happen, they're the ones that need to rein this back under control before college football is totally destroyed.
Yeah, and I think you're not very far from it as far as being, quote, totally destroyed. I just think back to Notre Dame. Like, I mean, think about how much that roster was probably worth, right? $25-30 million, whatever it was. Opted out of the bowl game.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
how about these kids that make $1 million or $2 million or $3 million, and then they don't want to play in a bowl game with their team?
Correct. But it perpetuates itself in that when those schools buy those rosters, and I don't think I'm even going to upset my colleague Dima here by saying Ohio State bought that national championship last year, just like whoever's going to buy the national championship this year. And then they get rewarded for doing that by going to the further into the national playoff, which means more money. Right.
Correct. More money.
So it just perpetuates.
Do you see
itself.
The day, guys, a minute left. You see the day where maybe all we're going to have is Power Four college football?
I mean, the thing is that the Group of Five can't compete with the money that the Power Four has. That's not even a debatable topic anymore.
Right.
You're looking at the numbers. So everybody who's coming on here saying, no, we can't compete. No. It's not even a debatable topic anymore.
No.
So the debate is whether or not you think the Power Four should just kind of do their own thing. Would that be better for college football? I don't know where I stand on that issue, but there's no debate at this point that the Group of Five has no business being in the same financial market share as the Power Four is.
And if the NCAA is not going to do it, then can we get some Group of Five ADs to step forward and say, well, if you're not going to do it.
Or maybe presidents?
Yeah, that we're going to do it.
Maybe presidents should step up a little bit.
Show some leadership.
Yeah.
And get this done.
Yeah, instead of just letting it perpetuate and get worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, I mean, Southern Miss lost upwards of 50 players on their team.
Yeah.
I mean, 60.
And it's not just Southern Miss.
No. I mean, you saw, I think Texas, I mean, Texas State, you know, they lost like their whole team.
Yeah. All right. That's our complaint for the day. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. 4th Street Bar Grill sponsors the fourth segment of the program every day. Great place for lunch or dinner. Great place to catch all the ball games. And, man, there are plenty of them this weekend. So make sure that you pay a visit to 4th Street. Hey, Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is always fun, but never forget the most important player. Get an annual physical to kick off the new year. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. And I just can't emphasize how happy we are to have them part of the Eagle Hour. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. All right, Dima, a little bit of news. I want you to recite what you just told us about transfers to the University of Memphis. And then, of course, there's some news that the Southern Miss picked up a kid.
Yeah, so Memphis has signed 15 players in the portal, 13 of them coming from Southern Miss. So not a big surprise there, because we all knew that Huff was going to take several of his players here. And, of course, now he's making up their whole transfer roster.
So three schools in 3 years for the coach and the players.
Correct. So Southern Miss did just land a good offensive line transfer from Louisiana Tech, Toby Mueller, coming over from La Tech, 6'5", 325, over there at Louisiana Tech. So he's going to have 4 years of eligibility remaining. So I don't see if he had any playing time at Louisiana Tech. So maybe a depth piece for Blake Anderson's team. But as of right now, they really don't have any offensive linemen. So it's probably just going to be a player, at least a player who has D1 experience. They also signed a defensive lineman, Raymond Pernis. And he is 6'5", 250 out there. So Raymond Pernis, and I mentioned him yesterday as someone that they had offered. So did it, in fact, sign him.
So tell me this, guys. I read this morning, and I won't name the schools. They're up north. They had a list of these are Mississippi schools, by the way. Had a list of people. I'm talking about a long list of people already signed in the portal. And I don't see that coming out of our athletic department right now. Should I be concerned about that?
No, I wouldn't be concerned. I mean, it's very clear what Southern Miss's strategy is in the portal right now, and that's to land all these JUCO players while the big boys, Power Four, get all of the players, you know, that are going to take all the money, basically. Mm-hmm. And then Southern Miss is going to get what's left.
See
from
what's
that.
Left.
Yeah,
okay.
Which I think is their strategy, which personally I think it's a pretty dangerous strategy. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, of course, you know, they got to turn over the roster 60, 70 new players. So they're going to have to get all the players they can
get. And the guys that left Southern Miss to go to Memphis, and you said, what, 13? And actually, Bob, this makes sense. This will be their third school in 3 years. But I understand they're traveling to become travel agents. They're studying to become travel agents. So this will be great for them. Great experience, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just one that I don't think we owe any debt of gratitude to Charles Huff. That's just my opinion. I think he came in here and won some games, yes. Left the program, took everybody he could get his hands on when he left, and just left this school as high and dry as any coach in Southern Miss history has ever left it. Is that an exaggeration, Dima?
I mean, you could definitely make that argument, for sure.
And we paid him handsomely.
Yeah, to do that to us. Thank you very much, Kelly. Oh, great point.
But that just goes to show you how messed up the whole thing is.
$950,000 for that.
To take the football team after a year.
Yeah, you want me to mess something over? I'll do it for $200,000.
I'm in for $150,000.
Okay.
I can screw things up pretty good for $150,000.
Oh, this radio show is living proof.
I ain't making $150,000.
Ja'Kayla Johnson was named Sun Belt Conference Player Women's Player of the Week.
She should have been.
After her 30-point game, of course, on Saturday. But she led the Sun Belt in scoring with 56 total points over the weekend, 28 points a game. So good for Ja'Kayla Johnson. Both men's and women's teams that they're going to play in the MAC Sun Belt Challenge have been announced. The men play Kent State on February 7th. That'll be at home. And as we broke on the Eagle Hour yesterday, the women's basketball team will play Toledo against in the MAC Sun Belt Challenge.
Yes, that was a big secret.
Yes. But we only kept it between us.
Only between us, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, we wouldn't tell anybody.
No. We appreciate Coach Builder back coming on, too. She might not be back. She may not come back now after that.
No, I texted her later on. She goes, "Oop, I didn't think I was supposed to say that." And I said, "I don't think they're going to fire you." And she said, "I hope not."
No, I don't think she needs to be too concerned about that. That right now is, there's a little bit of a bright spot, I think, in basketball right now for both the men and women.
The bright spot's encouraged. The ceiling. I think it's getting fixed up in there.
Who knows?
No. That's not going to happen. You know that. When is construction starting, Kelly? Are you aware?
I don't know. Actually, a song is coming out about the Reed Green renovations.
Oh, no.
It's called the 12th of Never.
Did Helga write that one?
Helga. Yes, that was a Kelly named. Had a name suggestion for Dima and his young wife's upcoming child, Helga. And we were both sitting there going, "Where did that come from?"
He just out of the blue. Well, if it's a girl, you could name it Helga.
Well, how many other people are naming their kids Helga? Right. Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Well,
they don't want their daughters to be identified as East German
shot putters.
Shot putters. Yes.
No offense to anyone who's listening. Name
East
is
Germany doesn't
already shot putters.
East Germany doesn't exist anymore. By the way, Bob.
Oh, that's right. I've got to catch up. I'm a little behind.
Goodness.
Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Maybe you will be too. Southern Miss
to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.